Sunlight gleams over rippling water, the setting sun dips below a craggy peak on the ocean's horizon. Mar Vista Entertainment. Nighttime, in snow-covered woods. A man in a long coat and snowshoes, Daniel, traverses a path. He pauses and puts his hands on his knees, his breath steams vapor and snow clings to his coat. He slides his fedora off. He stands and tilts his bearded face up, short dark hair falls back from his forehead. He reaches into his coat pocket and pulls out a gold pocket watch. Roman numerals read seconds to midnight. He looks at a large white house nestled in the snow, white lights wrap around porch pillars. The wreathed front door opens, light spilling out. Inside the house, people mingle. A blonde woman in a red scoop-neck 1920s style dress walks into a room. A man in a suit follows her.
Lily!
She picks up her coat and walks away, he follows her. Outside, Daniel watches her exit the house.
Lily.
Lily and the man in the suit stand on the porch. Daniel watches. His smile fades. Daniel's brows knit as the man embraces Lily. The man pulls back and holds Lily's face. Daniel blinks and shakes his head slightly. He closes his pocket watch. From behind, a dark figure strikes Daniel on the head. Daniel falls and sinks in the snow. Daytime, a snow-covered angel in a garden. Words appear. Mar Vista Entertainment presents. Red and green Christmas ornaments. An AA Films production. White pillars among snowy trees. The spirit of Christmas. A snow-covered gazebo in an open park. A manger scene in a yard. A statue in a park flanked by snow-covered trees. A city street, cars parked along a patchy snowed road, street lamps glow in the dimming light. A stone angel spreads wings over a lamplit building courtyard. Nighttime. A busy walking bridge lined with globe lamps. Slow-moving cars slide below, headlights illuminate falling snow. In a restaurant, a couple sits across each other. Several wine glasses and a bottle sit on the table. The man reaches for the woman's hand.
Kate.
Yes, Laird?
You are amazing. I knew when we met, the man who won you would be beyond lucky. Kate, that man just isn't me.
Her eyes widen.
I'm sorry?
You're beautiful and smart. And I know that somewhere deep inside you is a woman capable of great love. But I don't bring that out in you, and I never will.
Are you breaking up with me?
Yes.
Oh, thank God.
What?
I thought you were proposing.
She drinks.
I know this may seem sudden, but it's something that's been lurking since, well, the beginning. I know being an attorney is an all-consuming job, but if you really wanted us to work, you'd make me a priority.
True.
And I'm not your priority.
You're so not. Also, you're tired of dating someone who hasn't learned how to love.
I never said that.
Joe did. I'm a college boyfriend. Sam called me his phantom girl. He was cute. Till it wasn't. And Larry told me I should go to love repair boot camp. Because of my childhood? Who even knew those things were real?
You've heard this before.
Yeah, lots. But you know, I'm not gonna pretend to feel something that I don't. You're so right. I don't. Are you gonna eat that?
He looks down. Kate stretches her arm across the table and forks a piece. She smiles, slides the plate to her, and leans back. Daytime. A snow-covered cityscape. In her office, Kate types. A banded file folder plops on her desk.
Henrietta Forsythe finally died.
And good morning, Oliver.
It was. Visions of my Bahamas vacation were dancing in my head till I got this news. Guess what I don't want to think about on my Bahamas vacation?
Henrietta Forsyth.
You're quick. I knew there was a reason I came to you first.
I also never have Christmas plans.
That too. It's a simple execution of her will, mostly.
How many assets?
Just the one big one. Come on.
On a tablet, a white inn.
Holly Grove Inn. Nice, huh?
Charming. Who gets it?
No heirs. So to the trust it goes, and they want it sold quickly before they get hit by taxes.
By?
End of the year.
That's in 3 weeks.
I know. Between you and me, Joyce just got a new gig in Toronto. That means the senior associate position here will be up for grabs. And while I can't make any guarantees, I can go to bat for you over Kirk.
That's... Thank you, Oliver.
We both know it's totally selfish. You work harder than anyone here, and that makes my life easier.
Okay. Well, I will have the business evaluations done right away. Review the books, hire a local appraiser.
That's, strangely, not as easy as it seems. I've already hired two companies. Both failed.
He hands her a newspaper clipping. Haunted Holly Grove Inn.
Oh, come on.
I know. 45% of the population still believes in ghosts. And as of right now, so do 100% of our appraisers.
So we'll hire someone else.
Already have. Mr. Murray will be at the inn on the 12th, and so will you.
You want me to hold his hand?
Please.
She rolls her eyes.
You'll knock this out in no time. You always do.
He walks off. Kate studies the image of the inn. Outside the inn, a white sign swings in front of a snowy drive. A black SUV drives through the sleepy town, Kate at the wheel. She approaches the inn nestled among trees at the end of the road. She pulls up to the inn's driveway. She sees a man scurry from the building to a car.
Mr. Murray?
An older, balding man glances at her. He opens his car door and gets in. Kate rushes out of her car.
Wait!
He quickly backs out.
Where are you? We have a meeting!
Kate flaps her arms against her sides.
Seriously?
She walks toward the inn. White columns support a porch roof. Bits of exposed wood show through the paint. She studies the tall arched windows on the double door entry. One door stands ajar. Kate climbs the steps to the porch and pauses. She glances behind her and then steps through the doorway.
Hello?
She walks into an adjoining room. She approaches a mantel crowded with china, picture frames, and a clock. She picks up a frame with an image of a dark-haired, bearded man and studies it. Behind her, a gray-haired man walks in.
Can I help you?
Hi. Sorry. The door was open.
It isn't, actually. I'm in the middle of closing the inn for the holidays.
What, closing? Isn't it high season for a place like this? Why would you be closing now?
The man takes the frame.
Tradition. I'm Walter Rafferty. Oh. I take it you're Ms. Jordan.
Kate, with Padden and Turner, I'm here for the property appraisal.
Yes. Mr. Murray arrived early, left early, too.
What happened?
It's probably the ghost.
The ghost?
Usually is when they leave like that. Though Daniel's never harmed anyone, every once in a while he does assert himself.
Daniel. Mm-hmm. You're on a first-name basis with the ghost?
No, when you've worked here as long as I have.
Kate smiles and looks down.
Daniel Jacob Forsythe.
He replaces the picture.
He once owned this inn many years ago. The inn is of the utmost importance to him.
He smiles.
Now, I'm sorry your trip has been a waste of time.
Oh, no, I'm not done. I just got here. There has to be some appraiser somewhere who's not going to let a silly ghost story scare them off.
Kate looks up at the ceiling.
Sorry, Daniel.
And where will you stay until then?
Well, this is an inn, so I kind of figured that I would stay here.
Impossible. As I said, we're closed until December 26th. The staff's already gone, and I'll be leaving within the hour.
Well, as executor of the estate, I have a set of keys, so not impossible.
Inadvisable.
Because of the ghost? I don't scare easily.
I'll be leaving soon. You will be alone.
I'm a big girl, Mr. Rafferty. Besides, it's only for one night, and I'll lock up the place when I leave. But you know what? You're welcome to stay here with me if that would make you feel better.
Not remotely. I'll be gone, as I always am, by December 13th.
Why? December 13th?
Tradition.
Kate furrows her brows. Walter leaves. Kate walks back to the mantle and looks at the photograph of Daniel. In an upstairs room, Kate holds back a sheer curtain at a window and watches Walter head to his truck. He throws a duffel bag in the cab. He looks up to Kate, then climbs into the truck. Inside, Kate drops the curtain and turns back toward the shadowed room. Sunlight softly illuminates the four-poster bed. In an office, Oliver gathers paperwork.
So your appraiser was a bust.
You're kidding.
Nope, he was sprinting to his car when I got here.
So what's your plan now?
Oh, when I get home to Boston, I'll hire one of the appraisers we've used before, so they're not caught up in the myth at this place.
You staying there tonight? Have you seen anything spooky yet?
Don't start.
I almost wish I wasn't flying tonight so I could get the update, see if you survive.
You'll get the update when you get back from the Bahamas. And I can guarantee you there won't be any ghosts. Good night, Oliver.
Kate sets the house alarm. Nighttime. Outside the inn, the bedroom window glows. Inside, Kate reads in bed. Her head droops over the book. She startles awake and puts the book aside. She snuggles into the thick blankets and turns off the lamp. On the mantle, the clock next to Daniel's picture strikes midnight. Booted feet enter the inn. A hand disarms the alarm. In the darkness, Kate's eyes open. She lifts her head and listens. She turns on the lamp and reaches for her phone.
No.
She picks up the phone off the floor and dials. Her door swings open. She reaches for a metal nail file on the nightstand. She grips it in one hand and holds her phone in the other. She steps out of the room and looks around. She pauses at the top of the stairs and peers into the shadows below. She descends. Downstairs, she turns into a dark hallway. Behind her, a man steps out of a doorway.
You're trespassing.
She backs into a bookcase, toppling a vase onto her head. She crumples to the floor. The man looms over her. Daytime. In the living room, Kate awakens on a sofa. A colorful patchwork blanket covers her. She sits up and touches the back of her head. She turns her head toward the music, lips pursed and brows furrowed. She pushes off the blanket and rises. She enters a dining room and rubs her head. In the adjacent room, a dark-haired man sits at the piano. He wears white sleeves and a dark vest.
How's your head?
Sore.
Understandable.
He turns to her. It's Daniel.
Well, you appear thankful you don't wear soft, which means you can leave. And you should. At once.
I'm not leaving. You're the trespasser.
He stands.
A man cannot trespass on his own property.
This inn belongs to the Forsyth Trust, which means you should leave before I call the sheriff.
He leans down, lunges to her, and lifts her over his shoulder.
Hey!
He carries her outside.
Put me down!
He plops her down on the porch and walks inside. She follows him. He locks the door behind him. She pushes on the door with her shoulder. He returns, unlocks the door, and shoves the patchwork blanket in her face. She stumbles. Next to the porch, Kate paces, wrapped in the blanket. A sheriff exits a police cruiser.
Thank you for coming, Sheriff.
No problem. So he was here when you got up?
Yes, but I think he got in last night because I saw someone before I got knocked out.
He hit you?
Oh, no. Just a vase fell on my head.
He tilts his head.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'll be better once he gets out of here, though.
Okay, well, why don't you stay down here and I'll take a look around.
Okay, thanks.
He walks up the stairs. Still wrapped in her blanket, Kate peers up after him. He walks back down. He shrugs.
He was here, I swear.
Well, he was probably some drifter who came in out of the cold and hightailed it out back when he saw me. I mean, I'll check around the area, though.
Well, he was dressed awfully nice for a drifter. He wore a tie.
Well, some do. You might want to use the alarm system.
Well, I did. I said it last night. I think.
He raises his eyebrows and tilts his head, then turns. Outside, snow falls. Inside, Kate sets the alarm. She pauses in the doorway. She looks behind her and touches her head. She walks on. Upstairs, she closes the door to her room and turns the key. She goes into the bathroom. She glances at the door as she closes the bathroom door behind her. In the bathroom, she applies makeup and brushes her hair. She opens the bathroom door.
This is my inn. I have all the keys.
Daniel leans on a bedpost and clasps his hands.
I have no wish to harm you. I merely want my solitude, which requires your departure.
Kate snatches her phone and scurries back into the bathroom. Daniel rolls his eyes and clenches his jaw. He leaves the room. Kate listens at the bathroom door. She opens the door to the sheriff. Her eyes dart around. The sheriff raises his eyebrows at her, a bundle of keys in his hand.
I activated the alarm. It didn't go off, which means he was inside when you left.
Well, I searched everywhere again.
You must have missed something.
How's your head?
It's fine. Look, I'm not hallucinating. There was a man here.
Well, he's not here now.
Unless you missed him again.
Or he's a ghost.
Kate rubs her forehead as the sheriff walks away. He pauses and turns to her.
Miss Jordan, would you like me to wait here until you leave?
No, that won't be necessary. Look, I'm not making this up, Sheriff. A man was here.
I made sure all the windows and doors are locked now. Just don't forget to set the alarm after me.
Kate watches as the sheriff drives away.
I also know the alarm code.
She whirls around.
Are you going to keep disappearing and reappearing like this?
He shrugs.
Are you going to keep calling the sheriff? I'm pretty sure he thinks it's all in your head.
Is it? Are you?
You tell me. It's your head.
I think you're real.
He tilts his head.
But what is real?
He unfolds his arms and walks off. Kate follows. She rounds a corner to an empty room. She looks around, brows knitted.
Stop it!
She walks looking around and pauses on a framed newspaper clipping on the wall. Daniel Forsythe missing. Fear dead. 1920.
Impossible.
Unfortunately, it isn't.
Walter pulls off his gloves. Kate follows Walter into the dining room.
You knew this would happen when I said I was staying here, didn't you?
I knew it might. Or you might leave.
He wants me to leave.
Maybe you should.
And what would I tell my boss? Strange things are afoot at Holly Grove Inn and I couldn't get it appraised? I have a promotion riding on this, you know.
Holly Grove should not be sold.
Okay, can we please dial down on the whole startling Kate thing you two have going on? I have a potential head injury and explain to me again how he's a ghost. He doesn't look like a ghost. See? You can't touch ghosts.
He looks down at her hand. She lets go. He straightens his shoulders and looks at Walter.
So we're telling her then?
It seems prudent.
Except I wouldn't believe you for a second.
And you're an expert on the supernatural?
Just what I've seen in the movies.
Oh, yes, cinema. Bit of advice, there's more to life and the afterlife than one can find in the realm of flickering lights and pipe organ music.
Does he always talk like that?
At the moment, Daniel is not a ghost. However, when the clock strikes midnight on December 24th, he will be yet again.
How does that even work?
A curse.
A curse? You just said a curse out loud and actually meant it.
How else would you explain this?
Right now, I'm leaning towards cerebral edema, but I am really hoping I'm wrong on that. Okay, look. I'm not going to deny that there is a very, very strong resemblance between you and the dead guy in that picture out in the hall. But there has to be some other explanation besides curses and ghosts. There's just no such thing.
Kate faces Walter. He looks between Kate and Daniel.
I'll prove it to you.
Kate turns. Daniel stretches his arm out to her. She furrows her brows and turns to Walter. He nods at her. She turns to Daniel. Outside, Daniel leads Kate by the hand through an entrance to a snow-covered yard. White pillars stand on the opposite end. He marches on, Kate scampering behind him. She holds her thin sweater closed with her other hand. He stops in front of the pillars and turns to look at her.
I don't get it. What?
He takes a step backward past the pillars and disappears. Kate stumbles and falls. She stands and brushes the snow off her pants. Mouth agape, she pulls her sweater closed. She extends her arm past the pillars and waves it around. She takes a step forward and looks around a pillar. She searches. She spins around and runs toward the inn. She rushes inside and closes the door behind her.
Now do you believe me?
Daniel sits on the stairs.
Yeah, but if you think I'm leaving now, you really are nuts.
He stops peeling an apple. In the dining room, Kate and Walter watch Daniel eat.
He sure does eat a lot for a ghost.
He says it's more about the sensation. All his senses are heightened upon his return.
Yeah. Grilled cheese? I think if I came back from the dead, my first meal would not be a grilled cheese.
I can hear you.
Maybe a chicken vindaloo. Hey, did they have chicken vindaloo when you were...
Daniel leaves his seat, carrying his tray of food.
Alive? What, is he always this cranky when he comes back?
I wouldn't know. Other than our first encounter many years ago, our interactions are rare and brief.
Yeah, he doesn't seem chatty.
I can still hear you.
Daniel sits on the opposite side of the table. Walter motions Kate to the other room. They grab their coats and head outside.
I'm no expert on curses, but this one seems weird. He's a ghost except for 2 weeks. Why, did he insult a witch?
There are no witches.
Oh, right, because that would be crazy.
Daniel doesn't know the reason behind his situation. Only that he came back 95 years ago for 12 days and has done the same each year ever since.
And he can't leave here.
He's restricted by the inn's property line.
Yeah, but there's too many rules for this to be random. There has to be purpose behind it.
Agreed. But I don't have enough information and Daniel isn't very forthcoming.
Why? Doesn't he want to find out? I mean, if it were me, I'd spend all of my free time back here researching until I found out why this was happening to me. And maybe then I could break the curse.
Inside.
No.
Why?
Because there's no point and I want you out of here, both of you.
At least listen.
No. I have a finite period of time here and I'm not willing to waste it on theories or hunches.
He reads.
Have you ever tried to find out why you're like this?
I've tried more times than you can possibly imagine.
With anyone's help?
Yes, my cousin Harry, who was proprietor of the inn when I first returned. To no avail.
Kate crosses her arms.
Well, that was a long time ago. Come on, we have a chance to figure out how you died and see if that's what trapped you here.
He rolls his eyes.
Then what?
Then I think you'll cross over, go into the light, whatever.
You think?
I don't know. How could I possibly know? But trying is in both our interests. Look, I need to get this inn evaluated. Having you here makes that impossible. Don't you want to move on?
More than you know.
He stares off. In the living room, Walter carries in a tray with teacups. Daniel sits on a couch. Kate paces.
Daniel, things are different now. Miss Jordan's presence proves that. The inn will be sold. and that will put you in a precarious position. If you're found out, you'd become a curiosity. Mm. And you'd never be alone again.
Okay, so most obvious question first, how did you die?
Daniel takes a sip.
I don't know.
How do you not know how you died? Was it pneumonia, gunshot, poison?
I don't remember.
His body was discovered in the woods right out there. Seemed like foul play, but nothing was ever proven.
Homicide. Okay, so what were you doing as of your last memory?
Returning home.
From?
Montreal.
What were you doing in Canada?
It wasn't honorable.
I'm a lawyer. We don't do honor.
He shakes his head.
Are you familiar with the Volstead Act?
Somewhat.
It was a law passed the autumn before my death that banned alcohol in America.
Prohibition.
What Daniel is trying not to say is he was a bootlegger.
I prefer the term rum runner.
Wait, I thought you owned this inn.
It became mine upon the death of my parents months after my return from the Great War.
And Charles's. It was his too.
He rolls his eyes.
Who's Charles?
Daniel stands and walks to a window.
My brother.
He looks down at his teacup.
Were it up to him, this place would have been sold on the heels of my parents' demise.
He takes a sip and turns to Walter.
But I kept it going, with the help of my cousin Harry.
Daniel stares out the window. Kate behind him.
Well, that's lovely, but I don't understand the bootlegging.
The rum running was a means to an end. And the end was, as it so often is, a woman.
Flashback to Daniel and a man at the top of the stairs.
Between the economy and influenza, I'm surprised anyone is venturing out at all. I don't know how much longer I can keep it afloat.
Look, if it's money you need, I know some people in Montreal.
Harry, you know I love you, but I'm familiar with your type of people. I'm not comfortable going down that route. No offense.
None taken, cousin. I'm not always too comfortable either. I just hope you don't have to lose the place after all these years.
They look below. A woman enters the inn.
Who is this?
Lily Culver.
She looks up to them.
She and her widowed father recently moved here from Boston.
Oh, thank you.
An older man helps her remove her coat.
But you better move fast, Danny boy. You're not the only one to have noticed her.
Daniel descends. Harry follows him. A man saunters toward Lily.
Sorry, Elvis. This room is off limits to the party. Harry will gladly escort you back to the holiday festivities.
Harry pats Aldous on the shoulder and leads him away. Daniel turns and enters the sitting room. Lily stands by the mantel.
Aren't you quick on your feet?
Only when there is a lady in distress. Otherwise, I'm a total blunderer.
I find that hard to believe. You seem quite capable and charming.
I promise to do everything in my power to keep that impression from ever changing.
Your inn is beautiful.
More so with you here.
Oh my. You are the charmer.
Daniel looks down and smiles.
My name is Lily.
I know. Daniel.
I know.
They stare at each other. He smiles. Kate stares at Daniel. He turns and looks out the window.
Was she your sweetheart? Lily was...
She was. Until she betrayed me with my brother. That much I remember quite well.
Daniel stomps out of the room. Walter and Kate watch. She knits her brows and rubs the back of her neck. Dusk. Outside, light snow falls on the property. A warm glow emanates from a porch lamp. Inside, Daniel walks to a shelf. He grabs a red book and strokes the gold imprint on the cover with his thumb. He opens the book. Written in red letters, A Christmas Carol.
This is one of my favorites.
In the reading nook.
Fantastical nonsense.
Don't you believe in ghosts?
I believe in what I know. What I can see.
Daniel grabs Lily's hand and pulls it toward him.
Touch.
She leans down. They kiss.
When we marry, I'm going to turn this room into a library, filled with all sorts of books, especially fantastical nonsense.
She walks to the shelf. Daniel frowns.
What if we lived somewhere else?
Don't be silly. Why would we ever live somewhere else? This inn is perfect. It's part of the reason I fell in love with you.
Daniel closes his book and stands.
What do you mean by that?
He steps closer to Lily. She turns and steps to him.
It set you apart from all the others. When Father first took a look at you, he thought you were reckless, but when I told him you owned this inn, his opinion of you changed. He said it showed you had responsibility, dedication, a good head on your shoulders. With that, I couldn't agree more.
She puts her hand behind his neck and pulls him in for a kiss. She pulls away and hugs him. He furrows his brows. In the sitting room, Harry looks through a ledger. Harry looks up. Daniel enters.
Tell me about Montreal.
By the shelf.
There you are.
Kate walks up to Daniel. He turns.
He persists.
Rafferty's gone back to his place, but I think we could still get in some good work tonight.
No, we're quite done.
Daniel.
For tonight. We're done for tonight. We will continue. No promise is a promise.
Kate turns and stops. She purses her lips.
So, where are you sleeping tonight?
I don't sleep.
Of course you don't. Look, just don't come in my room, okay?
He sits and shakes his head.
I would not.
You already did.
Well, I would not now.
She nods and walks away.
What does your husband say of you staying here?
She turns around.
I'm not married.
You're both.
Don't have one of those either. And if you say one word about me being an old maid, it will not go well with you, all right? Times have changed since you were last out in the world.
People don't fall in love?
She shrugs.
Some do. I haven't. Good night.
She walks down the hallway. Daniel reads. Kate rounds a corner and slows down. She furrows her brows. She wraps her sweater around herself and crosses her arms.
Hello?
She turns to a partially open door and walks toward it. She pushes the door open. Inside, a dark empty bedroom. She frowns and continues down the hallway. She shakes her head. The door to the empty room swings. Kate enters her bedroom. She slides a chair under the doorknob and walks away. Daytime. Snow covers the inn's roof. In a room, Daniel walks to a window. He turns and looks at a framed black and white picture of a man.
It's foolish!
$600 each run.
Does it really though?
That's none of your business. Stay out of it.
It's my inn too! Just because I don't run it doesn't
That's
mean
right.
it-
That's right, you don't. I do.
As your brother, I can protest your actions, particularly when they're illegal. What if something happens to you?
Well, consider. If I'm arrested or if I die, you'll have your shot at Lily. Don't pretend, Charles. You follow her like a puppy, it's pathetic.
At least I take her feelings into consideration, which is more than I could say for you.
Daniel and Charles stare each other down. Daniel pulls away and walks off. In the tavern, Harry counts bottles, Daniel enters.
You told Charles about Montreal.
He wanted to see the books. I had to explain where the money was coming from.
You owe Charles no explanation. I'm the one you report to. Is that clear?
Cousin,
is that cousin. Clear, Harry?
It's clear.
Daniel turns from the window and walks off. In Kate's bedroom, she sits in bed reading her tablet. The Haunted Inns of New England, Chapter 3, The Hollygrove Inn. She swipes to a new page. Her bathroom door swings open. She starts.
Daniel?
In the hallway, Kate walks to the top of the stairs. She looks up. She backs up and walks to a second stairwell. She climbs the steps and looks around. She She enters a landing and looks at a door. She opens it.
Oh.
Inside, Daniel Irons shirtless.
Good morning, Kate.
She enters and walks toward him. He looks over his shoulder. She grabs an ornate picture frame.
Lily?
A black and white picture of Daniel and Lily.
She's pretty.
She sets the frame down. Daniel puts the iron down and swings his shirt on.
I will share with you pertinent information to accomplish our goal, but my room is off limits.
Yeah, mine too, so knock it off with the door banging.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
He walks out of the room while buttoning his shirt.
Let's just get back to work.
Agreed. First breakfast.
Hungriest ghost ever!
They walk down the stairs to the main floor. In the tavern, Walter speaks with an older brunette woman. They turn and look at Kate and Daniel.
Hello.
Kate Jordan?
This is Molly O'Brien.
No, actually, back to Molly Bell. Divorced.
Oh, hi, so nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I'm sorry about my friend. He's
shy.
Weird.
Oh, well, we're all a little weird. Small town life, right? So I heard my brother came by a couple times.
Your brother?
Wait, the sheriff?
Yeah, yes. He probably thinks that I'm a little weird. I'm sure he doesn't get calls like that from Walter.
No, Walter here is pretty self-sufficient. So, the water pipes in my pub, they burst.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the place is a total mess. If there is any chance you'd think about opening the tavern for the holidays, love it.
They turn to Daniel. He approaches them.
What he means is he needs more time to work out the specifics.
Specifically, no.
Kate tightens her lips.
Hi, I'm Molly. What's your name?
Daniel raises his brows and looks at Walter and then to Kate. Kate turns to Molly.
DJ.
It is absolutely not DJ. A ridiculous name if I ever heard such a thing.
Sorry, could you just excuse us for a moment?
Kate stomps to Daniel and pulls him by the arm to the adjacent room.
So?
What is wrong with you? Do you want her to know who you really are?
I want her to leave. Were you not dangling the slim chance of being useful, I want you gone as well so I could have my solitude.
Oh yeah, well one way to guarantee never having your solitude again is let her find out who you are, so cool it, Deej.
This is shaping up to be the worst Christmas since I died.
Don't stop being so dramatic and just follow my lead.
She grabs his hand and pulls him back to the tavern.
DJ is a Forsyth cousin.
Molly smiles and nods.
Hello.
He's stopped by to get a look at the inn after Henrietta's death.
Oh.
I only knew her when she was a child.
Molly and Walter knit their brows. Kate shakes her head.
Okay. Well, the inn has always been one of my favorite places around town. And frankly, I was kind of hoping the tavern would be open. I mean, my pub is going to be down for at least a week, and I would love to send folks here.
Oh, I wish we could help out, but the staff's on holiday.
Well, I could bring my people. I mean, I have a great bartender. What?
I find that hard to believe.
Well, have you ever even been to my pub?
The only bartender that I trust is myself.
Oh. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Molly crosses her arms.
Prove it.
No proving. He's not good at it. You're not good at it.
Tonight. Bring companions.
Kate sits at the bar.
By then, I will have secured the ingredients needed to establish my veracity.
I have no idea what you just said, but I will see you tonight.
Molly extends her hand. Daniel steps up.
Shake. There you go.
Okay, then. We'll see you later.
Walter and Molly walk out of the inn. Molly waves at them from the bar. Daniel jaunts toward a liquor shelf and looks through it.
A challenge. From a lady. Even after death, there are firsts.
What about your solitude?
Well, your presence has negated much hope I have for that. While I may be deceased, I will not allow my honor to be questioned without retort. It's a principle.
He looks behind the bar.
This bar is in deplorable conditions. Where's the Ferna Branca?
Kate shakes her head. She grabs a napkin and pen. Daniel peruses the liquor shelf. He turns.
What are you doing?
Making a shopping list. If you're gonna do this, you're gonna do it right.
She writes on the napkin. Daniel pops a piece of food into his mouth and turns. Nighttime, in the tavern. Daniel pours a drink.
Oh, yes.
At the bar, Kate drinks from a martini glass and smirks at Daniel.
Try this.
Daniel hands Molly a drink.
Mm-hmm. Now that is a hanky-panky.
It is indeed. Well, to me by calling herself the summer I spent at the Savoy.
You're hilarious. Ah, so do you know the Singapore sling?
That's similar to a stray sling?
Let's find out.
Molly walks behind the bar. Kate picks up her phone and walks out of the room.
It's just taking longer.
It's a property appraisal.
You should have handled this by now, and it's not exactly like we had a lot of time to begin with.
This whole ghost thing is causing more problems than I anticipated.
You know, it was funny at first, but now it's tedious.
Tell me about it.
Are you at a party?
No. Kind of.
Get the property appraised and get back to Boston, Kate, quickly.
Kate hangs up and takes a swig. In the tavern, Walter speaks to a bearded man.
I said, what are your intentions about my sister? She likes you. I mean, don't worry, if you don't like her, then that's fine, but just don't lead her on, okay?
I haven't. And I do like her.
So why don't you ask her out? I mean, you're both adults, you're both single. It's not that complicated.
Behind the bar, Molly stares off.
You need a Christmas tree.
Why?
Because it's Christmas.
There used to be a tree in the front room every year.
I thought you'd never been here before.
Rafferty mentioned it earlier.
Molly sits at the bar. Daniel smiles.
I have always found this inn to be so romantic, you know? Ghosts and tragedies and scandalous marriages. People gossip about it even today.
Scandalous marriages? Whose?
Daniel looks away.
Charles Forsythe and Lily. They married only a month after her fiancé Daniel died. You've heard of Daniel Forsythe.
Kate sips her drink.
A little bit.
Well, nobody believed the marriage was real. Baby came too soon. Folks said it was Daniel's.
There was a baby.
It only lived a couple hours, though. And Lily, she passed days later in this inn. It is so sad.
Daniel sets a bottle on the bar and storms off.
It's got him so bent out of shape.
In the sitting room, Daniel swigs a drink and paces. Kate dashes in.
Why did you storm off like that?
Are you really that insensitive?
We were getting good information.
About my life. My life. Not some gossip to be chatted about over drinks. Oh, I know to you this must feel like some story from long ago to dredge up, but it's not. It's real. And I'm real. And it certainly doesn't feel like long ago to me. And to answer your question, which I'm sure is coming, no, I did not know about Lily's fate or the baby.
Daniel turns away.
Harry didn't tell you?
He told me of their marriage, but I forbade him from telling me more. Precisely for this reason.
Well, it sounds like it wasn't a real marriage.
My brother's feelings for Lily were real.
Yeah, but she loved you though, right?
I don't know.
Daniel wipes his face.
She was furious with me the last time I left. Charles told her about the rum running.
How could you even consider this?
The money will help me keep...
nothing if you're in disgrace or jail or worse.
Charles blows the dangers out of proportion.
No, I am the one who doesn't want you to go through with this. I am.
Lily.
Promise me you won't go along with Harry's scheme. Promise me you'll be here with me for Christmas.
You're making too much of this.
Daniel and Lily stand in the snow by the inn. She places her hands on his chest.
Promise me.
I promise.
She pulls back and walks away. Daniel stares off. Kate furrows her brows.
You lied to her.
I was protecting her.
Yeah, keep telling yourself that.
That is unfair.
You know what's unfair is lying to people. She probably hated you for it. I know I would. Maybe she killed you.
You cross a line, Miss Jordan.
Yeah? Well, at least I'm not a jerk who lies to his pregnant fiancé, gets himself killed, and then leaves her to die in a maybe loveless marriage.
Daniel steps closer to Kate.
I want you gone tomorrow. This experiment is over.
He turns and walks away. She closes her eyes. Outside, street lamps glow against a gray sky. In the kitchen, Walter rinses dishes at the sink. Kate saunters in.
Hey, stranger.
Her brows knit. She shakes her head and walks closer to Walter.
I messed up.
I'm sure it'll blow over.
I don't know. I lost control. I haven't been thinking about this as real, as someone's life. It's just Daniel seems so alive.
He is alive. Just not in the traditional sense.
It's not the easiest concept to wrap one's head around.
No, it is not.
She sits at the kitchen table.
I wonder what he was like when he was alive. Was he just as stubborn? I don't know how Lily put up with him. I don't blame her for choosing Charles.
Sensing a bit of jealousy.
Absolutely not.
Walter smiles.
It doesn't matter. He told me to leave.
He didn't mean it.
He did. I always do this. I'm a self-sabotager.
Kate.
Walter joins her at the table.
It has been quite a while since Daniel's had the pleasure of a fight with a beautiful woman. Don't give up on him.
She looks away and sighs. Daniel walks into the foyer. String lights adorn the staircase banister. He puts his hands in his coat pockets and strolls in. He stops by the piano. He stares and reaches for it. Daniel turns. Down the hall, Lily stands in her red dress. She smiles and walks off. Daniel takes off after her. He rounds a corner to the sitting room. He looks in. It is empty. He looks down the hall and drops his head. Daytime. Kate's SUV drives through the town with a tree tied to the roof. She approaches the inn. The Holly Grove sign flaps with the breeze. She parks by a side entrance and exits the car. She smiles as she climbs the steps to the porch. She reaches in her coat pocket and takes out her phone. On the screen, Oliver. She frowns and presses the decline button. She puts the phone away and enters the inn. She walks through the main floor and looks around.
Daniel?
She climbs the stairs.
Daniel?
She walks down the hallway. The door to a room swings open. She turns and walks toward it. She enters the empty room and looks around. The door slams shut. Kate lunges at the door and jiggles the doorknob.
Daniel! This isn't funny!
She turns and walks to a window. She pushes the window upwards, it doesn't budge. The crystals on a lamp shake, Kate stares at them. The chandelier swings. Kate looks up and takes a step forward. She looks at a shadow in the bathroom. She furrows her brows. Daniel dashes in and embraces Kate.
Are you all right?
You didn't have to do that.
Do what?
Scare me like that. I get it. You want me out of here.
I didn't. I heard your scream and I came at once.
Kate looks to a bright empty bathroom.
It wasn't you?
No.
What about the opening and the slamming of the doors in my bedroom?
No.
The voices in the ballroom?
Were not me, I swear. Come on, Kate. Let's go downstairs.
I don't want to be in this house.
Outside, snow falls.
There's a second ghost? I can't get you to move on. How am I supposed to get rid of a second one?
Oh, it's extraordinary.
What, you never noticed? Bumped into each other while haunting?
I've had memories that seem real.
Maybe they were. Maybe they were ghosts.
I'd like to think I know the difference.
As if this Christmas couldn't get any weirder.
Daniel looks to the inn.
Look, I know I told you to leave.
Yeah, you did.
But I think you should stay.
Really?
Well, clearly there's more to my mystery than I knew.
Kate looks to the inn.
Perhaps your tenacity can be of use after all.
Kate stares at Daniel. She gives a slight smile and walks back to the inn. Daniel follows her. They stop near Kate's SUV.
A fir tree's atop your auto.
Yeah, it's a Christmas tree. I kind of figured you hadn't had one in a while, and, look, I wanted to apologize for what I said. Look, I crossed a line, and I'm sorry.
Daniel nods.
Thank you. Shall we set up the tree?
Daniel walks to the SUV. Kate smiles. Inside, they place ornaments on the tree.
So, what's it like, you know, when you're not like you are now?
Like a nightmare that goes on forever. I want to wake, but I can't.
So for 12 days. Why 12 days? Why Christmas?
I don't know.
Daniel hangs an ornament and stares. He takes a step back and looks at the tree.
You know, I haven't had an actual Christmas in 95 years. It used to be my favorite time of the year. I'd almost forgotten.
He picks up another ornament.
Christmas was my mom's favorite time of year, too. I always made a point of getting a tree as a reminder, even if it's just me. And it's always just me.
She crouches by a box of ornaments.
I find that hard to believe.
Believe.
He crouches next to her. They stare at each other.
Then the man of your time must be very foolish.
She swallows and stands. She walks to the tree. He grabs an ornament and walks to the opposite side.
What? Tell me. After all, I've been more than forthcoming with you.
It's not them. I mean, I want to be in love. You know, like, really in love. But I don't think I know how.
It's not a trait to be learned.
I'm not so sure about that. My parents got divorced when I was young, and long story short, I think I'm sort of collateral damage.
She stares at the tree.
Kate.
He walks around the tree toward her. They face each other.
I've only known you for a short while now, under unique circumstances. But I feel quite confident that you have a wonderful capacity for love.
Well, thank you. And for that, you get to hang the angel on the tree.
She hands him the angel. He turns and walks to a step stool. She rubs her hands together and sighs. He puts the step stool by the tree and climbs on. He places the angel on top of the tree and steps down. Kate smiles, looking at the tree. Daniel puts the step stool back to the side.
You know, if we don't get this figured out, if my theory was wrong and nothing changes, I'll make sure you always have a tree for Christmas.
Daniel reaches for Kate's hand. She looks down at his hand and smiles. They look up to the angel on the tree. Nighttime, in Kate's bedroom.
No!
I insist.
I don't care.
We are talking about your safety here.
I've slept alone in this room a few days now, and nothing scary or too scary has happened.
Circumstances have changed. We now know of the other presence. I will be in this chair in this corner if anything untoward happens.
He places the chair by the bathroom door.
You don't sleep.
I will not hover over your bed if that's a concern. In fact, here.
He turns the chair to face the bathroom.
Your privacy is assured.
He sits on the chair.
Good night, Kate.
She walks to her bed and lies under the covers. She looks at Daniel and smiles.
I'm sorry the trust wants to sell the inn.
Any chance you could buy?
She rolls her eyes.
I don't make enough money for that. I wish I could.
I wish you could too.
Kate turns off her bedside lamp. Daniel looks down at his lap. Around the inn, Christmas lights illuminate the foyer and piano. The Christmas tree shines. A table lamp lights up the staircase. Daniel sits and reads. He turns to the bedroom door and leans forward. He takes off his glasses. He stands. Kate stirs in bed. Daniel walks to the door and looks around the hallway. He looks down the staircase and back to the hallway. Kate turns over on the bed. He walks back into the bedroom. He grabs the covers and pulls them over Kate. Daytime. The sun shines on fresh snow on the ground. In her bedroom, Kate awakens. She looks to an empty chair by the bathroom door. She turns and spots Daniel by a window. She smiles and nuzzles her head on a pillow.
How did you not sleep?
He turns and smiles.
Uneventfully.
He looks out the window. Outside, Walter parks and exits his truck. In the kitchen, Walter opens an oven and takes out a tray of cookies. He turns to Kate, who chops food.
Two. There are two ghosts.
Yeah, any idea who it could be?
No. If anything scary ever happened, I always assumed...
He looks over at Daniel.
Understandable.
Okay, so let's review what we know and what we think we know. There were two ghosts, one unidentified, one making pancakes. There's a good chance the one making pancakes was murdered.
I'm still hoping for a tragic fall.
Oh yeah, ever the optimist, but in case you're wrong, there were two suspects, Charles and Lily, although their motives are still unclear.
You should also consider Conrad LaBelle.
Who?
The gangster in Montreal that Harry and I did rum runs for until I quit.
Daniel cooks a pancake.
He was a nasty fellow.
You quit?
I was in over my head.
Fine, three people then. Now, where were you as of your last memory?
He remembers. Daniel wears snowshoes and hikes through heavy snow. He wears a long coat and carries a messenger bag.
In the forest, beyond the manor.
And who was with you?
I was alone.
What about Harry?
I left him in Montreal with LaBelle's people so I could make it back to Lily by Christmas Eve. I almost succeeded. I even saw her.
Lily?
Yeah. In the doorway. Right before I...
Daniel looks up. He remembers. A figure hits him on the head. In the kitchen, he rubs the back of his head. Kate stares at him. Daniel turns.
I was struck from behind. I never remember that before. Unnerving.
But who attended the dance?
Why?
Because whoever was there couldn't have hit you from behind.
Then it couldn't have been Lily. Though who knows how angry she would have become had she found out why it was really a Montreal.
Please don't kid yourself. She knew. Women always know stuff like that. She was probably cursing you the whole time. Wait, how long were you gone to Canada?
A couple of weeks, maybe less.
2 days less?
Perhaps. We left on the 13th.
And you came back late on the 24th. That's 12 days, Daniel. That's got to be significant.
Yes, but how?
I don't know. But there's something there.
Kate reaches behind her for her phone. On the screen, Oliver. She grabs her coat and hurries outside.
Now. Immediately. At once. Got it?
But, Oliver!
Vacation time's over, Kate.
I'm not...
Senator Morton died yesterday. It's all hands on deck, including mine, which means definitely yours. Get back to Boston today. Got it?
Got it.
Good.
Kate puts the phone down. She turns and heads back to the door. Inside, she carries her suitcase and walks down the staircase. Walter meets her at the bottom of the steps.
Hi.
Hey. He's counting on you to return.
I will. And we'll figure this out.
That, Ms. Jordan, has been my hope since you first disregarded my warnings to leave.
Sneaky.
Walter grins and grabs her suitcase. He opens the door. They exit. Outside.
It belonged to my father. His name is inscribed inside.
Kate takes the pocket watch.
It won't open, not since I returned. It might very well disappear as soon as you pass a property line, but I'd still like you to have it.
Daniel.
That way you won't forget me.
Impossible.
Nothing's impossible. I'm proof.
I will be back before Christmas. I promise.
They stare into each other's eyes. They lean toward each other. Kate turns around. She gets into her SUV. Daniel closes the door for her. She looks at him and waves. Daniel stands and watches the car drive away. In the car, Kate looks at Daniel in the rearview mirror. Daniel turns back to the inn. In the car, Kate looks at the pocket watch. She looks in the rearview mirror and smiles. In Boston, snow falls around tall buildings. In an office, Oliver approaches Kate.
So all that time, and you didn't accomplish the one thing that I asked?
Well, I've been working with the ghost. Daniel is his name. To try to figure out why he hasn't crossed over to the other side in hopes that once he actually did, I could bring in the appraisers and we could sell the darn thing.
Just say you were skiing. There's nice skiing there.
I wasn't skiing.
That's a shame. Live a little. But not until after you get the inn appraised.
Oliver walks away.
I'll get it appraised.
She closes her eyes. Nighttime, at the inn. Walter and Daniel play chess on the dining room table. Daniel pours a drink.
The name Molly is appearing on your special device.
It's a cell phone, and I'll call her back.
The modern woman's forward nature when it comes to courtship leaves me both off-put and deeply envious.
It's friendship, not courtship. She's probably calling about the Christmas Eve dance.
While I admit my prolonged isolation has left me rusty on the nuances of human interactions, she clearly likes you. And you clearly like her.
Daniel slides his queen.
Which makes your inaction all the more baffling.
So what can I do? If I ask her out and we like each other, then what?
Well, you were married once, I assume you'd know.
Walter shakes his head.
Long term. With this situation, with you?
This is your life.
He moves his knight.
Don't use me as an excuse not to live it.
I could say the same about you.
What woman would want a man in my situation?
Walter looks up at Daniel.
Kate.
He moves Daniel's bishop off the board.
At least that's the impression I get, don't you?
Well, Kate is a remarkable woman. If my circumstances were different, I could imagine. But I wouldn't do that to her.
Daniel knocks down Walter's king with his knight.
It would be unfair.
Walter sits back in his chair.
Plus, we don't even know if she'll return.
Walter flips a chess piece in his hand.
She'll return.
Daytime, in a boardroom. Kate sits at a long table and writes notes on a legal pad. Someone hands her a large envelope. She opens it and reads through the documents inside. She pauses on a page and stares at it. She looks up and stares off. At the inn, Walter opens the stained glass door.
Mr. Murray. I don't recall making another appointment.
That's because I did, on your special device. Mr. Murray, thank you for agreeing to stop by.
Let's start in the basement.
Mr. Murray hurries inside.
Please come in.
Walter crosses his arms and stares at Daniel. In the office.
Kate, the appraiser just sent word. He's completed the walkthrough of the Holly Grove Inn. Good job. Which means there's a little over a week to sell the place. You'll need to work on this exclusively, 24/7.
What about Christmas?
What about it?
I was planning on going back to the inn.
Your work there is done.
But...
The Trust is counting on us, and I am counting on you. And you need to be here for the Christmas Eve party. I'll be announcing your promotion. You deserve it. Priorities, Kate!
Oliver slaps her shoulder. She starts and frowns. Daytime, at the inn. Trees and pillars are covered in fresh snow. A round thermometer's dial points to 5 degrees. Inside, the inn is dark and empty. Nighttime, in the ballroom. Daniel walks up to the lit Christmas tree. He takes off his glasses and studies the tree. In the office, Kate stands by a lit Christmas tree and rubs her thumb over the pocket watch. At the inn, Daniel walks in the snow-covered yard. He turns and looks at the pillars. He heads back in. Daytime, on a bench by the property wall. Daniel lies with his eyes closed. His eyes snap open. He lifts his head and looks toward the inn.
That's new.
He sits up and walks to the inn. He steps inside and looks around. He rounds a corner and spots Kate playing the piano. She looks over her shoulder. Daniel leans on a doorway and smiles. Kate spins around.
You came back.
She shrugs.
Priorities.
Daniel grins. In the kitchen, he pours orange juice.
So, any more ghost sightings?
Kate sits at the kitchen table.
Only when I look in a mirror.
Well, that's good news.
He sets the juice on the table.
So you got the inn appraised?
I did.
Why?
He takes a plate of cut fruit to the table.
That's what you wanted.
He sets a plate of food near Kate. She places the plate in front of her.
You know, I found out something while I was gone. Something I think you should know.
He turns. She hands him a document, copy, certificate of birth registration.
Daniel Jacob Forsythe. They named him after me.
Look at the father's name.
He takes a closer look. Name of father, Daniel Forsythe. Name of mother, Lily Forsythe.
It's true then.
Daniel smiles and shakes his head.
He was mine.
And the marriage was just a cover. At least it was for Lily.
He covers his mouth with his hand.
I don't know what to say. God, I've been angry for so long. The betrayal.
Kate watches him and knits her brows.
But it was the opposite.
Kate reaches and caresses his face. She rubs his shoulder and wraps her arms around him. They embrace. They pull apart and look toward the door. Molly and Walter walk in. They carry boxes of poinsettias. Daniel and Kate stand.
Kate! You made it.
Yep, as promised.
Well, I'd say just in time.
The caterers will be here by 4.
Oh, great. We should be all done decorating the ballroom by then. Come on, Walter.
Molly walks to the ballroom. Walter smiles and follows her. Daniel and Kate turn to each other.
What's going on in the ballroom?
He leads her to the ballroom.
How many poinsettias did you bring?
3.
Oh, good. Because it could use some over there on the floor by the tree. Some bright red.
Walter places poinsettias on the floor.
The Christmas Eve dance? Here?
Well, Molly's pub was too damaged to host this year.
Well, that's nice.
There we go.
I was just thinking if we had more lights.
And it's right that it should be here again. I've missed it.
He looks at Kate.
I've missed so many things.
She turns and looks up at him. They smile at each other. She walks away toward Molly. He follows her.
How about one over? See, down low, everything's kind of...
Nighttime, in the ballroom. Decorations shine under Christmas lights. People walk around and mingle. Walter speaks to two boys.
And that's it. That's all you do. It's just incredible. Molly.
Hi, Walter.
Good to see you.
You too. Hey,
Walter.
Noah, how are you?
Good. Good to see you.
Drink?
Yeah.
In her bedroom, Kate looks at herself in a mirror. She wears a short red dress. She turns and walks to the door. On the other side of the door, Daniel stands. He wears a suit.
You look beautiful.
You're not so bad yourself.
Oh, this? I wear it all the time.
He steps into the room. She fixes his tie.
Better?
You're still missing something.
She walks to the dresser and grabs a small wrapped box.
I don't have a gift for you.
Just open it.
Daniel grabs the gift and opens it. Inside, the pocket watch. He grabs the pocket watch from the box and opens it.
Daniel Jacob Forsyth.
He smiles and nods.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
They stare at each other. Kate leans in and kisses him. She steps back and grazes his chest with her hand.
Everyone's waiting.
Shall we?
She walks out of the room. Daniel pauses, then follows her. In the ballroom, couples sway together.
Oh, there you two are.
Oh, this place looks amazing.
As good as my time.
Noah frowns. Daniel shakes his head.
Where's Molly?
She's... over there.
Across the room, Molly dances with a man. Daniel extends his hand to Kate. She takes it. They sway together.
Whoever buys the inn, make sure there's a clause that they have to hold this dance every year.
I'm sorry. We need more time.
You have the evening.
No. I mean, we need more time. We failed.
We didn't fail, Kate. Not at all. I'm among the living again. That's thanks to you.
She smiles. In slow motion, they stop and lean closer. Noah approaches them and taps Daniel on the shoulder. Daniel shrugs and walks away. Kate turns and dances with Noah. Daniel walks toward Walter and grins. He takes off his suit jacket and stands next to him.
It appears the woman you were not courting is being courted by others.
Molly dances with the man.
Thanks for the update.
Walter, you're the one to tell me that things are different now. One way or another, you and I will both have to move on. Well, right here, in this moment, it's time to try.
He looks at Walter. Walter stares at Molly.
Screw tradition.
He walks toward Molly and the man.
Excuse me, Luke. You gonna step in? Thank you. Molly, may I?
What took you so long?
They sway together. Daniel smiles and watches the crowd dance. A gloved hand grabs Daniel's, his hand gloves. He looks down and is standing alone. He looks up and searches around the party. A couple dances by, revealing Lily wearing the red 1920s dress. She knits her brows and looks around. Daniel's eyes widen. From an adjoining room, Charles walks to Lily.
It's nearly midnight. I told you, Lily, a leopard cannot change its spots.
Men are not leopards, Charles.
She saunters past Daniel. She stares at him as she heads to the foyer. Daniel follows her. Kate watches him as she dances with Noah. Lily grabs her coat.
Lily!
Charles follows her. On the porch, Daniel watches Lily walk outside. She holds her coat closed. Charles walks out and stands behind her.
He promised me he'd be here by Christmas Eve.
A promise is only as good as the character of the man who makes it.
Daniel frowns.
I believe in him.
Charles bites his lips and looks down.
Do you hear that song, Lily? 12 days. That's how long he's been with Harry breaking the law. That's how long he's lied to you. That's how long he's put himself before you, before everyone, as he always does. 12 days is long enough for a man to have learned his lesson and repent his mistakes. But he is not here. He has not learned. He will never learn.
He will learn. I know it.
Charles shakes his head.
You ask for a miracle.
And a miracle will be. It's Christmas, Charles.
Daniel watches them wide-eyed.
What better time for a miracle?
Daniel looks down. Charles wraps his arms around her and hugs her. He puts his hands on her face and looks at her. He pulls her back into a hug and rubs her back. Daniel takes a step back, his mouth agape, his breath visible in the cold. He drops his head. He remembers. The figure strikes him on the head. Blood covers the snow. In the ballroom.
Who?
Daniel holds the gloved hand.
Who wasn't there?
Conrad LaBelle.
Would he have done it himself?
No. He would have sent someone else.
His eyes dart around the room.
Someone who would have known my route.
Daniel looks across the room. Harry wears a long coat and plays with a bloody rock.
Because it was his route too.
Harry looks up and meets Daniel's gaze. The gloved hand drops Daniel's. Daniel stares. Kate looks at him, then across the room. To an empty space. Kate knits her brows. Daniel takes a step forward. Harry turns and walks toward the wall. He disappears. Daniel hurries up the stairs. Kate follows him.
Harry. I know, Harry. I know.
He stops at the top of the stairs.
Daniel, what's going on?
It was Harry. He's the second ghost. He's the one. Aren't you?
He looks around and turns toward the hallway.
How do you know?
I saw him. I saw Harry just now. You had a rock in your hand. The one you used to kill me.
But he was your cousin. Why would he?
I had no choice.
Behind them, Harry appears. Daniel and Kate turn.
You shouldn't have quit, Danny. They were afraid you'd tell.
I wouldn't have.
I know. But LaBelle, he didn't believe me. He told me I had to stop you or else he would. And then he'd go after my family. Henrietta, I couldn't risk it.
She had just been born.
She was my everything. I had to protect her.
Why is this happening? Why haven't you moved on?
Where else would I go? I murdered someone.
He's afraid of judgment.
And as long as you stay here, I stay. You're my anchor.
Lily appears.
You're the one who chases people away, makes sure he's alone. You killed him and cursed him to this purgatory.
No, that's not true. I don't know why you're stuck here, Danny. I swear it.
I know.
Daniel stares at Lily.
He's not why I'm here. Turns out it's not a curse after all. It's a miracle. Lily's miracle. For me. If fear is what's keeping you here, Harry, then I forgive you.
What?
I've been angry for a long time. It did me no good.
And who's to say I wouldn't be exactly where you are right now, had I not been given a chance to learn? I don't have a right to judge anyone, even you.
After what I did, I kept you here.
I kept me here. This is my doing.
He turns to Kate.
Turned out to be a blessing. It just took me a long time to realize that.
I'm sorry.
I know.
Daniel steps closer to Harry. He holds his hand up. Harry clasps it.
Don't be afraid. Have faith.
Harry disappears. Daniel looks down at his hand, then back toward Lily. The space is empty. His face falls. On the main floor, the decorative lights are off. The room stands vacant. In the sitting room, Kate stands across from Daniel.
You know, I really thought that if we found out what happened, that you'd move on, but you're still here.
It was as good a theory as any.
I'm sorry.
He shakes his head.
I'm sorry that I'm not sorry we failed. The truth is, it would have broken my heart if you were gone. I've waited for this for a long time, and I don't want you to move on. I want you here, with me.
I only have 12 days to offer.
Well, it's better than none. And I've had plenty of none.
Okay. I don't think
Look, Daniel, what if this is our fate?
Daniel takes a step forward.
And sure, it's not conventional at all, but I mean, come on, are we supposed to just pretend like we don't feel this? Please tell me you feel this.
You deserve more.
But what I want... it's you.
She caresses his face. He looks to the clock on the mantle.
It's almost midnight.
Well, then I'll wait for you. Same time next year.
She wraps her arms around his neck.
And the year after. And the year after that.
They kiss. The pendulum on the clock slows down. Flashes of their time together.
Kate, let this be my Christmas gift to you. You will remember what it means to love, and be deeply loved in return. And when the opportunity for you to love once again presents itself, you will be ready. And it will, Kate. I promise you, it will.
Kate falls asleep in Daniel's arms. He picks her up and places her on the couch. He kneels by her side and covers her with a quilt. Lily stands behind him. He looks over his shoulder, then at the clock. He turns to Lily and stands.
What does this mean?
You're free. Free from this place.
Lily steps forward and extends her gloved hand. He takes her hand. He turns and looks at Kate. Kate stirs on the couch. Lily pulls Daniel out of the room. Outside, they walk toward the white pillars in the yard.
Lily, wait.
They stop in front of the pillars. She looks at him. He looks back at the inn.
My love, the choice is yours to make.
She walks past the pillars and disappears. He turns to the inn and stares. He looks back to the pillars. He drops his head. Daytime. In the sitting room, Kate awakens. She sits up on the couch. She touches her lips, then drops her hand. Her lip trembles as tears well in her eyes. In her bedroom, she packs her suitcase. She turns. She pulls back the sheer curtains and looks out the window. Outside, Molly and Walter walk in the snow hand in hand. They stop and kiss. Kate smiles.
Well, hello, Oliver.
Truce.
We aren't fighting. That's an advantage of not working together.
I think I was a little hasty with the whole priorities gauntlet.
You think?
Okay. I know.
The truth is, Kate, I never thought you'd pick anything over this job.
Ever. But the more I think about it,
the more I realize that you're right. It's Christmas.
You should get a vacation.
Sounds lovely. Now, what do you really want?
The trust deed for the inn.
I don't know where it is, and I gotta get my hands on it ASAP.
Why?
There's a buyer in play, just came out of the blue, though.
If you think about it, it makes sense.
Who?
Kate carries her suitcase and meets Walter at the bottom of the stairs.
You bought the inn.
With a partner. If all goes well.
Molly.
She loves the place as much as I do. My real goal was and is for Daniel to be free.
Kate smiles.
Who knows? Maybe he is.
Walter? The cleaning crew just arrived. They need to talk to you.
Be right there, Molly.
Molly waves at Kate and walks away. Walter looks at Kate and knits his brows. They hug. Walter walks away. Kate walks toward the framed newspaper clipping and photo of Daniel.
Goodbye, Daniel.
The stained glass door swings open. Kate stares wide-eyed. She walks outside. She stands on the porch and looks to the forest. A figure hikes in the distance. She narrows her gaze and walks down the steps. She continues, staring ahead. The figure trudges through the snow. Kate smiles. She jogs. Daniel wears a long coat and a fedora. He smiles. He pushes through tree branches. Kate runs to him. He takes off his fedora and stops. She stops in front of him.
You came back. How?
12 days isn't nearly enough. I want more. I want you.
He puts his hands on her face and pulls her in for a kiss. She smiles and wraps her arms around him. They embrace and kiss. Previous credits: Jen Lilly, Katie Sawowski, Robert Walsh, Joanna Harrington, Bates Wilder, Brett Lee, Thomas Baudouin. Directed by David Jackson. Written by Tracy Andreen. Casting by Lindsay Chog CSA. Costume designer Jennifer Lynn Tremblay. Music by Claude Foisy. Edited by Sarah C. Reeves. Production designer Christina Bauer. Director of photography Michael Negrin. Credits continue. Copyright 2015 Mar Vista Entertainment, LLC.